Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we discuss all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn. Hey guys, good evening, late in the evening. This is where all the magic happens. I am just checking to see if I'm live. Gotta do all the checks, all of them. Let's see here. I hope everybody's day was just blessed. Blessed. I had all the appointments, all the running around, all the things that I don't like. But you know what? That's why these times are so needed, right? We got to realign and refocus, because we get all caught up in all the things of life. And so it can really discourage us, distract us, you know, all the things. A lot of people like to talk. A lot of people like to say things. Sometimes those things attach to you. All right, guys, I just have to check one more thing. Let me see here. Good here, good there. Are we good everywhere? I don't even know. Let me see. I gotta check. Oh my God. Let me see. Oh my goodness. We will find out. I hope you guys are coming, you know, ready. With expectation, ready to receive, ready to hear from the Lord, ready to be restored, ready to be filled. What is it that you need? What is it that you need? Do you need to feel accepted? Do you need to feel loved? Do you need to feel encouraged? What is it that you need? Because you're going to find it at His feet. Okay. Okay. I think I got it. You know, I can't talk and do all this at the same time, so. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Okay. I think I got it. Okay, let me check one more thing. Guys, did you miss me? I had to make you anticipate. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I had to disappear like that. I mean, I'm a one-woman show here. I am a circus act on the real. Okay, hold on. One more thing. I have to check. I have to do all my systems to go. I feel like I'm an astronaut, like ground control to Apollo 13. All systems go. Got to check one more. Okay. I mean, think it's good. You know, I have to set my vibe. You know, I'm changing my lighting. I'm trying to flirt around with that, figure what that's about, because I am not a tech savvy girl. God, no. But it's okay. It's going to be all right. Okay, one more thing. Okay. So let's dive in. Okay. Well, let's start off in prayer, because that's what we're doing here, right? Let's just inhale. Exhale. I always feel good when I do that, especially when there's chaos just erupting all around me. I just need a good. My kids are screaming in the back. My husband's talking about sports. Oh, I'm fighting not to eat that cookie. Even though I've been giving in a lot lately. But I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to get back on track. I said that for like 3 Mondays, but it's for real this time. But anyways. So let's just get into it. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We quiet our hearts. We quiet our minds. All the noise that screams at us, all the to-do lists that wants to remind us how we're falling short. You got to do this. You got to do that. And it just feels like it never ends. Lord, that does not exist in this space. Our to-do list does not exist in this space. The only thing you ask of us to do is to know you, to sit at your feet, to receive, to dwell. You don't give us a list of to-dos. You don't want us to sit with you to say, do this, do that, do that. And then after you've done that, then I got more for you to do. No, 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 no. That's not what you call us to do. You call us to be like you. So, Father, we ask that this will be a time where we can erase more of who we are to gain more of who you are. That we will erase the craziness, the curses that have seemed to follow us, that we, all those things will begin to fall off of us when we sit with you, when we hear what you have to say, when we eat off your table. Father, speak to us through your word. Help us to hear what you have to say. Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, encourage, challenge, that we will not leave unchanged. May your seeds go down into good soil so that we will produce a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I always get all turned around because this chair, I'm not a person that can just sit still. I got to be moving a lot or I'll fall asleep. So if you see me over here swiveling and dancing, that's why. I can't sit still. Maybe it's because 10 kids just keeps me on my toes. So when I sit, I'm just like, I don't know. I got to be doing 3 things at once, even when I'm sitting. I don't know. I think we're all kind of like that, right? It's just, I don't know. But anyways, I've been doing a lot of gardening lately. And it was funny because, you know, my nails are looking all like I climbed out of the grave. And in many ways, I have. This girl has climbed out of a grave. And, you know, I've been feeling a lot this morning throughout the day, the Lord really speaking to me about not being reactionary, not waiting for a certain situation. Usually, you know, like when it was funny because we just bought laundry detergent. And I'm in the middle of making breakfast and, you know, usually in the morning I have my kids fill up their water bottles for the day. And then, so while that's happening, Kenzie comes to me and she's like, hey mom. Yeah. So all the laundry detergent spilled all over the floor. There's just blue everywhere. And I'm just sitting there and you know, that was when I felt the Lord say, don't be reactionary. Because you'd be like, who spilled it? What the heck? I just bought that laundry soap. Like how, you know, I don't feel like living at Walmart because I do already. Everybody knows me there by name. It's like Cheers. Everybody knows your name, like literally. And I was like, okay, you know, I just felt the Lord just kind of was just don't be reaction. It was just like everything was kind of testing my reaction skills. And I just kind of sat there. She's like, Mom, what are we going to do? I'm like, you know what, Kenzie? It's already on the floor. Just leave it. Just leave it. I'll clean it up when I get to it. Usually I would just stop cooking breakfast, you know, move everything to go hurry up and deal with the soap situation. And that's the thing. There's always some kind of crisis happening, big or small, in our life. And the Lord, I really feel, does not want us to be reactionary. He doesn't want us to respond in our default mode. You know, the way that we've been trained, the way our parents would respond when we were little, when they would be cussing us out or smacking us in the back of the head or yanking us by the ear or screaming at how, whatever it was to cause unrest. Because the whole thing is the way we respond is the tone that is set in our home. If we're freaking out, and especially in the beginning of the day, that would just throw everything off. That whole gallon of detergent would have thrown me off for like, I would have been sitting there doing all the calculations in my head, like, okay, that just costed us this much money. This is constantly being wasted. And then I will notice every type of waste that is happening in our house. I'll see half a banana eaten, or the fact that, you know, you begin to notice all the negative things. All it takes is one thing to derail, and it just kind of, it's a domino effect. This, God wants his people to be strategic and calm. Because you can't think when you're in a state of chaos, when you are upset, when you are flabbergasted, when all the things, you can't receive peace. You don't even want to hear what anybody has to say. It's just because what you feel becomes, you know, the thing that you cling to. It's like, I don't care what you have to say. I know I feel, you know, overwhelmed. I feel stressed. I feel unheard. I feel unseen. And, you know, it begins a whole thing. So I just kept feeling the Lord whispering to me throughout the day, don't be reactionary. Do not be reactionary. And for so long, sometimes it feels like, you know, we, like I said, we grew up a certain way. And so that's how we know how to handle situations. You know, we either shut down, it's fight or flight. We either run away from the situation. We don't want to deal with it. And then the situation mounts up so high. And next thing you know, we're like, this is too big for me. You know, you want to hit reset on life and just start back from the beginning. And God's like, okay, we need to take a step back. And it's just learning in even the small moments of life. Because I swear, I've been getting tested in this area a lot with the whole reactionary thing. You know, our fridge went out. And of course, we don't notice it till late. And so we got to deal with that. And it's, you know what I mean? It's just like, it tends to be one thing after the other. And I'm like, I don't want to be reactionary. I want to be strategic. What is it that God wants? How are we to respond? And immediately I thought of the story of David. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it talks about, now David was greatly distressed. Literally, I could stop right there because that is my life, greatly distressed. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Because now that's a problem. So sometimes I feel like that with my kids. Like, you know, everybody's surrounding you, yelling at you. You're just like, oh my gosh, I feel like I can't do anything right. You ever have those days where everybody, it just seems like everybody's nitpicking everything about you? Okay, David's in this situation. He is greatly distressed. Everyone is so mad at him. So let's see how David responds. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And to give you a little bit of context, this story, the reason why everybody was so distressed and was about to, you know, lay David out was because their wives, their children, their everything they owned was taken. I believe this was from the Amalekites. And so everybody's upset at David. He's getting the blame for all of this. And it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He didn't go down the list, because I know I would have, and I have. I'll go down the list like, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. Like, you're going to come at me like that. You know, you start getting the stick swinging it because you're getting backed into a corner. But it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In a moment of great distress, in a moment where everybody is turning against him, in a moment where everybody is getting ready to stone him, then David said to Abiathar, these names, the priest, Ahimelech's son. I did the best that I see how I added that little bit of a Jewish, like, you know, how they talk, like, you know, it's, I like it. Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. The Lord answered David, saying, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So we see that in the midst of this chaos, because Lord knows we all find ourselves in the midst of chaos. In the midst of chaos, we see that he is leaning on strategy. He is not being reactionary. He's not coming out, you know, snapping fingers, clapping hands, you know, doing the syllable breakdown. Like, no, he didn't do any of that. He wasn't like, and he's done a lot for these guys. You know, he pretty much took them under his wing. He taught them how to fight. He made them like mighty men. That's what they were regarded in scripture. And we see that his conversation isn't with them. He doesn't conversate with them. He doesn't try to convince them. He begins to go straight to God. He knows where his power comes from. He knows where his authority comes from. And it ain't coming from them. He's not trying to convince them to like him again. He's not trying to make them see all the things he's done for them. He's not trying to go ahead and recount all the ways that God has brought them out. No, he's going straight to God. And so this is where his strength comes from. He strengthens himself in the Lord. He inquires of the Lord. He tells one of his guys, go get me the ephod, which was this like a breastplate that the priest would wear that was covered with all these jewels. It's like he puts his priestly garments on in this moment. And he's like, I need to remind myself who I am. I need to remind myself that I am God's child. I need to remind myself that I have authority in this situation. And so he inquires of the Lord. And he asks the Lord, this is where strategy comes in. Now, what do I do? And he goes, he asks the Lord, shall I pursue? He doesn't ask the guys what to do. He doesn't, none of that. He goes straight to the Lord and he says, shall I pursue this troop? This is all strategies. This is what we can learn from, to not be so caught up in being so reactionary. And so he says, shall I overtake them? And God answers him, pursue, for you shall overtake them, and without fail. This is my favorite part. Recover all. Recover everything that the enemy took from David. Everything. And so as we read on, so David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued. David pursued. David, let's just, you know, do a little bit of a retrace here. We see that David strengthened himself in the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. Then David pursued. Okay, so we're seeing a man of strategy, a man of confidence. His confidence isn't coming from anybody. It's not coming from anyone around him. It's coming straight from God. God is the one that is downloading to him what to do and how to respond. So where was I at? Okay, he and 400 men. Okay, so I read that. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. I mean, do you see how God is lining things up here? This is no coincidence that the same amount of time that David had not, you know, that this all happened on the same timeline. And they're just now running into this guy who's a slave. And so they're now questioning him. We made an invitation of the southern area in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? And he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down there, the servant had brought David there, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Ratchet. They're down there. They're down there having a good time. They don't know what's about to hit them. So they're sitting there celebrating, eating, drinking. They just took everything from David and his men. And David attacks them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds, and they had driven before those other livestock, and said, this is David's spoil. Guys, this is the power of going with God into battle. He goes before us. Literally, he lined everything up so perfectly, so strategically. We have to learn to not get so caught up in our feelings and our emotions, because they will lead us down. It will derail the plans of the Lord. It will set us back. It will cause us to live in this reactionary state And I know, because been there, done it, and just fighting through, you know, like I said, today the Lord has just really been putting that on my heart. Do not be reactionary. Do not respond out of your feelings, out of your emotions. Don't respond from that place, but inquire of the Lord. How do you respond? How do you need to, speak to the people that are coming against you, like in David's case, that are surrounding you and coming at you with accusations and all the things? It is so vital for us to press in to God's heart and listen to his voice. So we see that David not only inquired of the Lord, strengthened himself in the Lord, but also was obedient to what God was telling him to do. Let's just take a break right there. Let's let that marinate. And let's just really pray into that. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you have created us with feelings and emotions, but you have called us to control them and not allow our feelings and our emotions to control us. But we are to control how we feel. The same way David did. And sometimes when the enemy feels like they're pressed in on every side and the situation seems so hopeless, where David's family was taken, his belongings, everything that they owned was taken. Father, you gave him strategy. Father, may our ear be turned to you, Father, to your voice. Father, that we will be a people that is strategic, that we will not be ones that fight, that we will not be punching the air blindly, but our fists, when they land, they will land and cause impact. It will be strategic punches. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Activate our spiritual senses. I really feel like that is something that we lack. Our physical senses are activated, right? We can see with our eyes, we can feel with our hands, we can, you know, taste with our mouth. Our senses are activated in the physical. Are your senses activated in the spiritual? Do you see things the way God sees them? Do you hear his voice? When you talk, are you speaking his words? Sometimes we have, you know, we appeal to our senses, to our, you know, when we're hungry, we eat. When we're tired, we, you know, we listen. We listen to our physical needs. You know, when we feel dirty, we take a bath. When we're tired and burned out, we just, you know, zone out, take a break, pop in a movie, chill, whatever. We listen to our physical needs, but do we do the same to our spiritual needs? Are we feeding our spirit? And the same way we feed our, we meet our physical needs is the same way we need to meet our spiritual needs. When we are hungry, that should be a great indication, a great reminder. And I'm even speaking to myself, because this girl, she don't pray as much as what she should. I don't read the Bible like I should. I'm aiming there. I'm getting there. You know, so when we eat, that'll probably be a good time. I'm just thinking of this. You know, these ideas are just popping in my brain. But it would be a good time to take that moment to also press into the Lord's heart and say, Lord, as I'm eating, may I also may you also fill my spirit with what it needs. That's why we walk around with such a spiritual deficit. That's why mental health is on the rise, or mental illness. We're seeing the rise of so many diseases. We're seeing the rise of so much mental issues. We're seeing the rise of anxiety and ADD and ADHD and yada, 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 and autism and this, that, and the other. Pick one. It's running rampant out there. And so we have all these issues. And a lot of that is attributed to the neglect that we are doing to our spirit. We're not feeding our spirit the word of God. God wants us to put the word in our heart. Let me see. I was actually just reading that. That was in Psalms. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I was just saying that I should have underlined it, but I didn't. Let me see. It's literally just reading that. But now I don't see it. It'll pop in my head. I like to get the reference right. There's something about making sure that it's all right and in context. You don't want to be jacking up scripture. That comes with the whole thing. But, it's the whole essence, the whole mindset that God wants us in is that He is our focus. He is the one that we inquire to when the laundry detergent is as simple as it sounds, is spilled all over the floor, and you're just seeing money just, especially in our house, there's no, I'm like, you're gonna have to make us multimillionaires. The amount of kids we have and the amount of stuff that breaks and goes off, I'm just like, dear God. But these are things that we cannot allow to consume us, and we have to stay in an attitude that keeps our eyes focused on Him. Like, okay, God, how do I respond, in this moment? And as silly as it sounds, I really felt as I was just sitting there silently stirring the eggs, imagining my laundry soap that I literally just bought the day before, just trickling all over the floor. I just felt like the Lord was like, how whatever you speak is going to open the floodgates for whatever spirit you want to dwell in your home. So if you're going to sit here and freak out, that's the spirit you're welcoming into your home. If you're giving into complaining and arguing, what spirit is attached to complaining and arguing? Think about that for a minute. When you are fighting, when you're giving into anger, when you're feeling upset about something and you lash out, look, we all get to those moments. But this is where the Lord is really trying to get us to mature as His children. And no more being reactionary. Start being strategic. Okay. Like, you know something's going to break. You know something's going to whatever. And that was another thing that it was just like the Lord's like, just instruct. Like, I don't even know, like, how the Lord would instruct, because it's like, the way my parents would respond to situations, that's what's in my head. That's what's before me. That's what I live through. And so when I do hear the gentle voice of the Lord, because He is such a gentle shepherd, He's so full of compassion and abounds in mercy. It's hard to receive that because you feel like you need to get like a tongue lashing. You need to feel the weight of shame and guilt and condemnation. And if you don't feel those feelings, then you don't feel bad for what you did. That's how I grew up. But that's not how God wants us to feel. He's empowering. See, I got to break words down into syllables so I can really say it. He's empower, empowering his people. He empowers us because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It isn't us being afraid of going to hell. It's not about us being afraid of experiencing his wrath or his judgment. It's his kindness that brings us, that shows us a different way, that encourages us, that motivates us. I mean, think about what made you become a Christian in the first place. His kindness. Knowing how much of a sinner you are and experiencing his love in such a massive way. They're just like, oh my God, how can you love me? I've done this, I've done that. And experience a love like that makes you want to change. It sets you free. It makes you want to love him more. It makes you want to, it brings out a pure love for the Lord, where you're wanting to do things for him because you love him. You're not wanting to do things for him because you feel like you have to earn your way to salvation, or you sinned in such a great way. Now you have to earn your way back. You know, that's not the way it is. That is not his love at all. And so I feel like the Lord is really trying to bring his people higher. He's trying to shift our mindset because he's trying to take us to the promised land. And having that mindset of being reactionary, that's a slave mindset. It's not a mind of strategy is the mind of a general. It's the mind of a warrior. It's the mind of a successor. That is the mind God wants us to possess, because he wants to bring us into the promised land. So the reason why the Israelites didn't step into their promise, and what will keep us from stepping into our promise, is taking the same broken practices, the same broken mindsets with us into a season that God's trying to break us out of. And let me tell you, breaking does not feel good. I know, because I'm kind of in it, right? I really am. And it's hard because I can feel myself dying in certain ways. It does not feel good. It doesn't feel good to forgive people who have wronged you. It doesn't feel good to release the anger and the bitterness, because you feel that that's a way to protect yourself from getting hurt again. It doesn't feel good to trust God when you want to be in control and you want to figure out how you're going to work your way out of certain situations. You know, it doesn't feel good to relinquish control and say, okay, God, I trust you. I can't even see how this is going to work out, the same way David did it. How scary, but let us get lost in the Lord and trust that he is faithful and just, that he is good. We don't trust in his goodness. We don't trust that he's good. If we truly believe that God was good, I think we'd sleep a little bit better. I think we'd forgive a little bit more. I think it would really change us. Father, I just ask that we would have a revelation of your goodness. Help us. I'm reminded of the story of you talking with Peter. And you said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for man has not revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. Father, we need a revelation of who you are, not what the media says you are, not what entertainment says that you are, not what music says that you are, but we need a revelation straight from you as we delve into your word. And you ask us that same question. Who do you say that I am? Help us to rest in that. Help us to rest in your goodness. Wash away all the trauma that we've experienced in our lives from the time that we were in our mother's womb until now. All the words that may have been spoken over us, all the words that have been said about us, to us, God, let them just wash away. So the only words that remain are yours. May we submit to your ways, to your plans, the way David did, the way he strengthened himself in you, the way he inquired of you, the way he obeyed you, the way he pursued. You honored him for it. You restored all things that were taken from him, great and small. Father, let us trust that you have everything that is working for our good. You're not working against us. You work for us. Everything, even in the pain, even when we can't understand, even when we can't see, Lord, remind us how you have worked in our life. Remind us, Father, how you have been faithful. Just take that moment to let him speak to you right now. What is he showing you in this moment? What is he whispering to you? Where are moments in your life that he's been faithful? That when everyone left, he was there. Then when you didn't see a way through, he made a way. Just ask, Holy Spirit, reveal to me your faithfulness. Reveal to me lies that I've been believing about myself and expose truth in my heart. I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in confidence. I want all things restored in my life, both great and small. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And those things that he reveals to you, the ways that he's been faithful, write those things down. Like, meditate on that. Those are the things that are going to get you through. Those are the things that we need to cling to, because when we're in this space of quiet, we got the candles lit, you know, we got the lights dim, we got our Bibles open, we're feeling all spiritual and everything. But tomorrow, when the chaos hits and the soap spills on the floor and the refrigerator stops working, and the dogs rip the screens of the windows for the 100th time, and you have a million texts coming to your phone and emails and deadlines and all those things, let us be like David and stop. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. In that moment, let us remind ourselves of what he showed us in this moment of quiet and solitude. Let's remember that in the chaos. When we're tempted to be reactionary, let us remember what he showed us in the quiet, what he revealed to us in the solace, so that in those moments, we can move forward in strategy and not be reactionary, but be people that set the atmosphere in our homes for God to move, for his presence to rest in our homes. You know, God's presence ain't going to rest in our homes if we're creating an atmosphere of screaming and yelling and cussing and all the things, you know. We have to make room for his spirit. And the way we make room for his spirit is when we die to our flesh that wants us to respond a certain way and react a certain way. And he's calling us to inquire of him and strengthen ourselves in him and bite our tongue. That stings a little bit. Bite our tongue when we want to say all the things. He's doing a new thing. You know he's doing a new thing because you feel like you're being stretched so thin. You feel like you're about to snap. You know he's trying to usher a new thing into your life because you literally feel like you're dying sometimes. You're just like, I don't know how much of this I can take. I feel like if I keep going, I'm going to just go crazy. I'm going to just admit myself into a, you know. That's the breaking. And in order for the new to come, there has to be the breaking. The same way when a woman is in labor, there's nothing cute about it. There is nothing glamorous about that moment. It is hard work. Why? Because something new is coming through. There is a new life coming through. And so we have to go through the suffering. And what do you hear? The nurse, the doctor, the midwife, whoever is by your side, your spouse, telling you, breathe. Because, you know, I'll never forget when I was in labor with our sixth, I wanted to jump out the window. It was so intense. And literally, I was trying to. My midwife was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm going to jump. I can't take it anymore. This was a mistake. This was my first home birth. And she's like, okay, that means you're ready to push. When you're at that point, when you're about to just jump out the window, because you don't know how much longer the pain is going to last. And you thought it was a good idea to go pain-free or to go medication-free, no epidural, nothing on this. And now you're regretting your decision now that you're in it. I remember her grabbing my arms and just saying, look at me. Just breathe. Just breathe. Strategy. Don't keep your eyes focused on the pain. Look at me. Just breathe. It'll be over soon. And sure enough, as she's looking at me, getting me to focus and lock in on her eyes, breathing with me, holding my hand, doing as much comfort as she can offer me in a moment of intense pain. The midwife is checking. She's like, there's the head. It's time to push. And now you're just, and now I'm like, oh God, I can't do this. No, just rip the baby out. I can't do this. No, you can do this. Like, get it together. We're going, you can do this. You're made for this. Your body was made for this. You can do it. And I did. And once I held him in my arms, I'll just never forget feeling like such a warrior. I felt like I could climb Mount Everest barefoot in one day. Like, that's how empowered I felt. I was just like, oh my God, I survived that. I did that. God is like that midwife. He's just like, he's right there with us. The things that feel like are going to break us and crush us and we feel like we're not going to survive. Ooh, that makes the sweetest wine, the best olive oil, the best fragrance, the most beautiful gems. It's that heat. It's that pressure that breaks forth beauty. It brings forth new life. So, just like David, let's just remind ourselves to be people of strategy. not about what we can drum up on our own or what we can Google or YouTube. Our strategy comes from above. That's it. There's just no quick solution. It's waiting on the Lord. And sometimes he answers like this, and sometimes it feels so delayed. And it's like, if this goes any longer, I'm afraid what's going to happen. But trust his timing. And I'm speaking to myself because there's things that I would love to take control over. And I feel his hands out like, we need to trust me in this. Do you trust me? Will you trust that I am going to bring about beauty when it's time? He gives beauty for ashes. There's that beautiful exchange we have with the Lord. So I'm going to close this out in prayer. But I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're clinging to, that you're holding so tight to, and you're just like, I'm not letting this go. I'm going to try to fix this my own way. I'm going to do it. Me. Just stop and let him do it. Trust him. He will not, it says in his word, he will not let his people be put to shame. He will not. You know what? Let me look up that verse because that's a good one. Just bear with me. Because that's something you got to write on your mirror. And can I type and talk at the same time? Not really. No. Okay. Okay. Amen. Let me see. Okay, here it is. Isaiah 54:4. Isaiah is so good. Really, I love reading. I've been stuck in Isaiah every time. All right, Isaiah 54:4. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. I mean, this is the words of a good father. Don't fear not. Don't be ashamed. Don't be confounded. You will not. These are promises that we can cling to. We will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth. You will forget the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Why? Because your future will outshine your past. It's like it doesn't even compare. You know? It's just like when you share about your labor and delivery, you're not traumatized by that because it brought forth beauty. It brought forth life. And so all the pain and suffering that you endured through your life, you won't look at it and it won't cause that rise of pain and emotions that it used to, because the beauty that came out of those dark moments far outshines anything that you went through. So let's pray. You know, a part of prayer is listening. Don't ever feel rushed to talk. Don't feel rushed to have to say something or say the right things or be poetic with your prayers. Sometimes just being in the stillness, when you just sense his peace, that is enough. That's enough. That's what we need. In a world of chaos, we need is peace. When the wind and the waves throw us and toss us from side to side, may we lock eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. May we see with, may our spiritual senses be activated. Let peace fill our souls and our hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to us what is taking up space in our hearts that is not allowing peace to remain, to implant itself within us. Lord, you've given us commands. You didn't say, I want you to feel this way. I want you to feel that way. No, you tell us in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4, fear not. It means deny your feelings of fear. Deny your feelings of shame. Deny yourself and follow you. Deny the feelings of disgrace. Deny the feelings of condemnation. Deny it all. And keep our eyes locked and focused on you, just as David did. Father, may we be people of strategy, a people, children. So many times we feel orphaned, we feel alone, we feel abandoned. We feel used, we feel unseen, unheard. But at the end, those are all lies. Because even when the world casts us aside, because it's not a moment of if, it's a moment of when, you always see us. You always hear us. You're always with us. Father, may we not forget that. In the chaos and the mundane and the scary parts of life, Father, may we remind ourselves to fear not. May we speak to our hearts and command our souls. Do not be afraid. Press forward. Inquire of the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Father, may we strengthen ourselves in you. I know I take these like silent breaks, but I just feel like it's necessary. So don't rush the silence. Don't rush the silence. We're just waiting on him. We're waiting on him to do what he does best. We're waiting on him to heal our hearts, to restore our vision, to renew our dreams, to speak to our weary hearts, to bring things into alignment, to make a way. Father, make a way. When there seems to be no way, make a way. The same way when the Israelites stood at the edge of the Red Sea, seeing that the enemy was pursuing behind them, advancing, and there seemed to be no way. And Moses cried out to you, and you said, what is in your hand? Use it. Put it in the water. Why are you asking me? Use what I've given you. Father, may we be reminded what you've given us in moments when we feel overwhelmed by life. May you show us, remind us in those moments what you have put in our hand to bring about the division, the parting of the Red Sea so we can cross. You've already given us everything we need. You've given us everything we need. We don't need to generate it. You've given it to us already. We don't need to be somebody that we're not. We can be exactly who you've created us to be. Renew and restore it, Father. May we walk by faith and not by sight. Consume and overwhelm and overtake us with your peace, with your love. Father, help us to release any offense in our hearts, to make room for peace. Anywhere we carry anger, fear, any negative emotion that is from the pit of hell, that is meant to rob us of our identity, keep us from our destiny, may you crush all those things that are taking up residence in our hearts that is not of you, and replace it with the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Self-control. That is something we need to practice as we step into not being people of reaction, but strategy. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you're with us every moment. Thank you that you hear us, that you're listening, that you're restoring, that you're working things out for our good. We can trust in that. Father, we give you our children, our spouses. Father, for those who have a prodigal child, Father, we just declare in the Spirit to come home. Come home in the name of Jesus. For our children that struggle with anxiety, depression, physical ailments, emotional distress, we just speak peace. We speak the shalom peace of God in our children. For our children that may struggle with any behavioral issues, Father, bring it all into alignment. Whisper to their hearts, speak to them at a tender age, Father, that they will hear your voice and respond, that their pathways in their mind would be set at a young age to not be reactionary, but strategic, analytical in the way in what is of you and what is not of you, that they will divide all things with the word of God to discern what is good and what is evil. Father, we pray for our spouses, Lord, that there will be unity, there will be unified hearts. Father, that the hearts of the father will turn to the children, the hearts of the spouses will turn towards each other. Father, that there would be a new love, a new love that would grow, where there just seems to be stagnation or boredom or just feeling like roommates or divided. All the things that can happen in the course of marriage, Father, we just ask that you would revive that, that there would be a fresh love, a reawakening, awaken hearts towards each other, Lord. That we would all see each other the way you see us. That we will call the greatness out in one another. And Lord, as we rest our weary heads tonight, Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would speak to us in the moments of chaos. Speak to us. We invite your voice to speak to us in the moments of chaos, to make room for your presence in our home and in our hearts, Lord. Remove the taste of this world from our mouth, that we will desire your law, your statutes, that brings us life, that brings us freedom, that brings us peace, that brings us joy. May we delight in your word the way David did. Renew the joy of our salvation, Lord. Father, we just thank you that you lead and guide our steps towards your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in. We will do this again next Tuesday. Last week, I did do a little impromptu and had my husband on the show with me. So if I'm feeling a little, you know, adventurous, I might pop on and do another one. But until next time, you guys continue to rebuild your ruins. And if this has been a blessing to you, like, comment, subscribe, and share. It is so important that we start reestablishing the importance of prayer. That should really be the center of our hearts. So you guys stay blessed and take care. If this episode has blessed you, hit that like, throw in a comment, and subscribe. Don't forget to smash that notification bell to stay up on all the latest episodes. Until next time, you guys continue to rebuild your ruins.